You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. John and Kendra Smiley join us every couple of weeks to talk about parenting issues. And Kendra is a national speaker, international speaker. John is a retired U.S. Air Force Reserve colonel. And they farm, they write, they speak, they're busy, and they've been married 41 and a half years. So we are bringing in the experts this morning. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How did that happen? 41 and a half?
Where'd it go?
And I don't know.
And you're really still feeling like you're 30 years old, right?
Oh. Maybe 32, but
32. Okay.
Even with grandkids and everything else keeping you busy, right?
Yeah, the thing that's shocking, our oldest son, they moved and they found a church, and he said the pastor announced there's going to be a new class for the youth, for the young marrieds, and he said, I thought, great, and then he went, oh, we're not young marrieds anymore, and I'm like, what? You're not? Oh, okay.
On and on it goes, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to talk to you both today about this topic. My girls are 11 and 12, soon to be 13, my oldest, and this is something that is on our radar for my wife and I, and it's tween dating and early teen dating. Now, you experienced this with your youngest son, Jonathan, some years ago. Can you talk about that?
Well, sort of, yeah. He and I were out in the yard working or something, and he announced to me, Mom, I'm going out with Meredith. He was a seventh grader. Meredith is the girl who lives on the farm, actually just to the west of us, and goes to the same Sunday school class and everything. I said, you're going out. Where are you going? And he looked at me like, oh, well, no place. And that lasted 3 days. He announced to me in 3 days, we're not going out anymore. I don't know what happened between them.
Big breakup, huh?
Yeah. Drama.
Well, and actually, John remembers the young teenage girl in our lives who announced to me at one point that she, too, was going out with someone, and again, not going anywhere.
Well, and the way that the kids apparently are saying it today is via texting, and they're writing dating, but it's the letter D and number 8-ing. Is that what you're finding?
Oh, you know what I think is so funny? I have a friend who is quite old, said the woman who should be saying that about herself, and she sent me a text this the other day, and she did a lot of abbreviating. Now, I have another friend that when, you know, the kids just write K, too. They don't ever write mm-hmm. OK. I have a really good friend, and we text back and forth, and she'll ask me a question, and I'll write K, and then I'll write parentheses, we're so hip.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm really saving any, you know, characters by doing that.
Well, but I'll tell on myself, too, because I sent you back an email saying, okay, it took me a few minutes to figure out that the D8 was date. So I was, all of a sudden I felt like I had aged significantly by that admission.
I just figured it was a vision problem, which of course would be aging too.
Yeah, that's important to bring it up, though, because parents, if you do see that on your kids' phones or devices, that means they could be in a relationship, right?
Oh, absolutely. It also means they may never pass spelling.
Right.
So this isn't always like traditional dating. We're thinking about, okay, you're going to go and, you know, get a bite to eat, see a movie or something like that. Talk a little bit about what it looks like today when these kids say they're dating.
Well, yeah, it doesn't look at all like what we said when we said we were dating. There are a lot of things. First of all, it's real short-lived, as I said, with Jonathan's mm-hmm. dating of Meredith, I think about 3 days. In fact, in this whole kind of relationship that they're talking about, a month is considered a really long relationship. Mm-hmm. They very seldom are doing anything face-to-face. And that's the joy, the pain, the whatever, the reality of social networking. That's where they're connecting with one another. There's a lot of funny things about it. They're expected to be, and I put this one in air quotes, monogamous. I don't think in the true definition of the word that fits in. But anyway, they're not to cheat on one another when they're dating at this point. And usually parents aren't aware of what's going on.
Right. And a lot of times it's mostly all electronic. And really, even at school, they're really not talking, like Kendra said, face-to-face.
Right.
The verbalization between the two really doesn't go on. It's all or a great deal of it is electronic, which is just astounding to me that they can be, you know, walking down the hall and they'll be texting or doing something electronic and won't verbalize it. So it's a new thing.
And, you know, it's hard for parents to get a handle on it, too, because it is that way. You know, when our sons were in junior high, it was writing notes to one another. They still weren't talking to the girls,
right,
but they were writing notes. And I always told the boys, I told them even not about notes, but everything, everything left in your pants pockets belongs to me.
Yeah.
That was the only salary I was getting for raising these kids. And I'll tell you, and I said, and if there is a note there, I will read it. Mm-hmm. And occasionally they left one in and I did read it. And sometimes we had to talk about what was contained in the note.
Yeah, well, and then the modern day note, as you're saying, is electronics.
Yeah.
So parents should be grabbing those devices and looking at them. But it's so tough. We've talked about it before, navigating that, respecting their privacy, and at the same time being the parent.
Yeah, I think having your antenna up, you know, you're going to know if there's some sort of, you're going to know because with your daughter's TED, you're going to hear one daughter talking to the other daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of paying attention, realizing they're not going to come out maybe as boldly as Jonathan did and say, I'm dating. You know, but you can pick up on that.
Right. And I think when you do pick up on that as a parent, it's one of the things that parents need to do. And that, if you haven't had a conversation, but the realization that boys and girls are different, even though this thing is electronic, it can go beyond that. So it's a good time for mom and dad to start thinking, if they haven't, about talking to their kids about the differences, what boys are after, what girls are after, and that whole conversation, to begin that conversation at least, because even though it's electronic, these kids are starting that process.
Right. There was a great book by Josh McDowell years ago. Don't even know if you can get it anymore. Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And usually, you know, little girls, they're not interested in much else than just feeling loved and special. And little boys are wired a little bit differently. So understanding that is important.
And I think there's the element, too, and I'm sure nobody's children are like this, but I know had there been social media and that sort of thing when I was a kid, because I wasn't allowed to date till I was 16, mm-hmm. but I was, quote, going out, you know, kind of like this strange dating thing. Even when I was 14, there was a boy who liked me and mm-hmm. and even bought me a little ID bracelet, which was the hot thing back then. And
ooh.
So, yeah, I know. And so I would hide this, and there was no way that my parents were going to find out. And I never talked about it in their presence. I never talked about it with anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was very sneaky. And social media, boy, is even so much more like that. It could be really dangerous.
Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. When I hang out with teenagers, which I must admit I enjoy doing, and someone starts to text or receives the text, that's even more, because I can hear it bing, like if they're in the back seat of the car mm-hmm. while going shopping or something. I always go, oh, who are we talking to? And just sort of heckle them. Of course, I'm not the mother, until they actually read me the text. Or at least I think they're reading me the text.
The
right.
safe
and
ones.
I think, yeah, and I think, you know, that's a great point of keeping things from your parents, and
mm-hmm.
and that gets us to the point of having an open line of communication so that mom and dad are not burying their heads in the sand and
mm-hmm.
thinking maybe some of this stuff is not going on, but opening up those lines of communication and asking your kids, you know, what's going on, who are you talking to, those kind of things, just
right.
those questions so that you have that communication going between your kids.
It's an important factor just to have that open line of communication, starting that really young, too, and don't wait until there's a problem.
Right, and we just, Kendra and I just talked about that at a parenting seminar that it's so important that begin early. And one of the ways, just for all those parents out there that are listening, you know, they say, well, how do you do that at an early age? Playing with your kids and working with your kids is an absolute wonderful way to begin that open line of communication and to keep it going. If you're playing with your kids, if you're working with your kids, it's a phenomenal thing that kids talk to you. And so in this dating process that we're talking about, having your kids being able to talk to you about it, it's so helpful.
You know, there's one more thing that's a really good, helpful hint for parents to kind of get an idea of what's going on, and that's volunteer to be a chauffeur somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we were youth leaders. We were always looking for people. Hey, we're going down to game day at University of Illinois. Would somebody be willing to drive? And if you sign up for that and you then become invisible, now, you must keep your eyes on the road, but don't necessarily enter into the conversations. They will literally forget you're there. I don't know how they think they're getting to, you know, to the event, but they will forget there is an adult driving the car. And if you listen, you will learn mm-hmm. a lot about your own child, a lot about their peers, and a lot about what's going on in either junior or senior high.
Good point. John and Kendra Smiley are joining us here today. We're talking about tween dating and getting equipped in our parenting skills, maybe just a little pit stop on life and where we get tuned up on our skills and how to interact with our kids about this topic. We'll be back in just a moment and take your phone calls, too. If you have a question or comment, we welcome that for John and Kendra here. 877-933-2484. Number to call, 877-933-2484. 747, more with John and Kendra coming up.
Way to go. Sing along. Okay, that's it. Muskrat love. That's what these kids are all about, right? They're they're falling in love between 11, 12, 13, and 14 years of age.
Quote unquote love.
Love. Yeah. John and Kendra Smiley with us this morning talking about tween dating. Let's talk a little bit, too, about the parents that think maybe this is really cute. And they think it's cute to talk about muskrat love, you know?
It's really not a good idea. Excuse me. It really, really isn't, because there's enough pressures on kids today. Mm. You know, they're growing up faster physically. You know, they're physically, they're maturing faster. And society it is saying, you know, there's a lot of pressure to become an adult. And I shouldn't even say that, because I'm not so sure it's to become an adult. It's to experience things that an adult should experience, not a child should experience. So they're growing up faster than ever. And when we encourage our kids to date at an early age, it just pushes them even more.
Right. I think probably your parents, BJ, you know, when they said you couldn't, PK, I'm sorry, that they
You got a whole new name there for a minute, PK. Well,
that's actually my middle.
The alphabet.
That's my middle initial, so we're okay.
My brain was off on, I'm sorry, what I was going to say there. And basically for parents to set rules like, you know, you can't date till you're 16. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when things are going on, like at 7, 8, we had the same kind of rules for our boys that when they're in junior high, they basically couldn't date. And it's the idea of setting a boundary. Okay, now, within that boundary, then trusting your kids to have relationships and having them kind of navigate those relationships in a healthy way. And that's what you're looking for. You're not trying to push your kids into relationships because you don't think they're going to have one. That's one of the mistakes I think that parents make.
The other thing, too, is you can have a lot of social interaction. I mean, our kids were involved in junior high youth at our church. That was lots of fun. And, of course, there were things that were going on at school. So they're not. It's not like you are not allowed to, you know, look, glance at or even think about and, for goodness sakes, not talk to a person of the opposite gender. That's not the point. It's just not a time when you want to become, again, in air quotes, monogamous with one individual.
And again, it comes down to being the parent. And the other part of that story when I was 14 is that my mother did find out about this ID bracelet, even though I would hide it very carefully. Somehow she found out about it. And then there was a school dance. And so I was given the directive that I had to give it back at the school dance.
Ooh.
And so it was emotional. And, oh, my gosh. And not only did she just tell me that I needed to do that because I couldn't date yet, but she came and sat in the auditorium and waited for me to actually give him the bracelet, and she was going to watch that.
So, wow, gutsy woman.
Oh, I know. She was not popular at that moment. But she did have the guts to be the parent, and
that's
painful, but it was necessary.
Right, and one of the things as parents that we're not looking for is to be popular.
Right.
You know, that's not in, you know, the part of being the parent.
That's right.
That whole idea of not being popular is more the thing
accepted,
to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, the thing that's important for parents to do is to look long-term. And so many times we just don't do that as parents. It's so important to say, what's my goal? My goal is to raise a responsible adult. My goal is to teach this child about what God says, how to be successful in God's eyes in life, how to bring glory to his kingdom. Keeping in mind the long-term goal really helps parents stop doing things like pushing their children into relationships too early.
Right. And again, I want to go back because Kendra and I see this so much that parents don't think they're like kids are liked. And so they do push them into relationships because they want their kids to be popular. And that to us is such a mistake because there's so much time that kids can, you know, go there without pushing your kids into relationships early.
So whether it's the pushing you're talking about, or maybe they're angry at you because you are being the parent and they're receiving that harshly, they say the words, you know, I hate you, and slam the door. We want to keep the lines of communication open. How do we go about that if a big incident like that has taken place? And once we're cooled off, what's the best way to kind of reconcile with our kids without giving in?
Well, the first thing to remember is they don't hate you.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
the first thing to remember. That is just, and if that works with you, you're going to hear it a lot.
Right.
If you go, oh, honey, you know, now I know you don't really hate me. No. Mm-hmm. Just last night we did a conference, a small event with parents, and a mom said, you know, my child says that. And I said, well, first of all, know that it's not true. Right. And you don't even really have to respond to it if it really annoyed you. And know that, and then work at building that relationship by, John, throwing it over to his corner.
Right, and I think that when a child says that, as a parent, you go back and you take a look at things, and you say, you know, what's going on? Is it fair? Did I make the right decision?
Right.
Am I looking long-term? And if all those, yes, it was fair, yes, it was the correct decision, I am looking long-term, this is the best, and then you basically move on. If the child wants to talk about it, certainly you can talk about it. Confidence in parenting is so very important, and the idea that sometimes kids, or a lot of times kids, try to undermine that confidence, and that's one of the ways they do that. I hate you. All those kind of emotional things they say. When you have confidence as a parent, you can go back and evaluate.
Right.
Yep, I made the right decisions, and then the communication will be there.
And if when you're evaluating, you think, huh, maybe I was a little too harsh, there's absolutely nothing wrong with when it's a calm situation, going back and say, you know, in that situation, I think I was a little bit too harsh, and I'd like to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, Mom makes mistakes, Dad makes mistakes. Yep, and when you're a parent, sweetie pie, you'll make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, too, to talk about the immaturity that these kids have because they are just plain young and knowing about boundaries, but then knowing even what culture is telling us by TV and movies and that sort of thing. Can you address that? We've only got a couple of minutes left, but this is such a critical piece of what's shaping even their emotions and their thoughts.
Right. When you're pushing them into a relationship that is geared for someone that's older, you've got to remember these tweens, they have not had any experience in setting personal boundaries, whether it be boundaries about their time, whether it be boundaries about things that, are maybe more intimate than that. They have not had that experience. And again, like you said, PK, they're watching television. They're watching movies where it doesn't seem like you have to have boundaries. It all works out in 30 minutes, and that's not how life is.
Mm-hmm. And that's
so good.
That's so huge because their friends watch these things, and they sit and they talk about it and everything else, and they form their opinions on what their life should look like. It's really important to have those conversations. I appreciate that so much.
And if there is a mom or dad of a young child listening right now who hasn't even, who by the time their child reaches tween years, it'll be called something else, we would just encourage them to constantly be aware of building that relationship. You know, relationship with rules leads to respect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good note to end on there. John and Kendra Smiley again joining us. And you'll find links for their books up at our website, myfaithradio.com. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.